I've been doing the convention rounds and preaching, and it seems sometimes that I'm talking more of an ideologic point of view or talking about ideology, but in fact, what I would like you to do is to understand why I, myself, and the other members of the task force and the members of the WFPHA see what we are going to present as something that is vital for the future of public health. And that is the reason why the whole session is termed Public Health, A New Hope, because it sort of plays on the Star Wars moniker. So, I have no conflicts of interest that I could think of to declare. I will, of course, repeat the take-home message that I have for you today. I will repeat it several times during the presentation because that's what I've been told effective presenters do. So the take-home message is that we need a globally accepted public health functions framework. And we need it now. Okay, these are two very simple take-home messages. The question is, of course, why do we need a globally accepted public health functions framework? One of the major problems that we see in public health, and it might be within other fields as well, but public health is very renowned for that fragmentation, for the silo mentalities in the programs. And the reasons behind the fragmentations are probably due to the fact that public health is so multidisciplinary. There are different programs vying for resources, vying for resources in terms of money, obviously. I mean, APHA is all about fighting for the resources. Also the personnel, the professionals, the public health professionals are also a source of conflict between the varying programs, and you have a lot of people going from one program to the other within the same area of expertise. Another reason, of course, is the obvious difference between nations and countries. Each country, each nation have their own definitions, have their own way of doing public health. And the multitude of stakeholders. We have so many stakeholders. We have NGOs, we have government agencies, we have private enterprises, and we have other vested business interests as well. I thought of something that perhaps would try to clarify what would the effect of a global public health functions framework be, what would the value be in terms of making an analogy to clinical medicine. I don't know if the analogy is any good, but still, bear with me, please. Clinical medicine also has different specialties. Each specialist sees only one part of the human body. The orthopedic surgeon sees the hand, the foot, the spine. The dermatologist sees the skin. But we know that there is one patient out there. I mean, it all reflects into one body. There is one person who needs to get treated. So in a way, we need something like a family practitioner or a general practitioner that would bring all the data, bring all the activity that is being done by the specialist, bring it together and put it within one framework that would be best suited to handle the patient's or the person's health. I mean, we want the person to be healthy. It's not just about healing the arm or healing the leg or healing the diabetes. You have to have the entire picture. And there is not only a patient out there, there is also a family out there. And there is a community out there. I mean, you have to have a broader view on things. So, I always like this cartoon because it kind of shows the what happens within the small bridge when all the programs come together and there is not enough infrastructure to bear the programs because nobody's been investing in the infrastructure. Okay, so what is the effect on public health of all this fragmentation? The effect is to a large extent, there is no agreement on what public health is. You get the different definitions of what public health is. You have no agreement. I mean, some of you might say, well, we can agree on some things, but there is no overbearing theme, overreaching theme of what public health does, or on how effective public health is. And there is always the feeling that there is a lack of direction in public health. We have the crisis, we invest a lot of money in a crisis, then the crisis goes away, the money goes away, the resources go away, and we're basically back to point zero. We're back to the starting point. Where do you go back? So, once again, the take-home message is we need a globally accepted public health framework, public health functions framework, and we need it now. So what are the global public health functions? We've built that upon different regional frameworks or local frameworks that have been in place for the past 20 years. There has been the PAHO model, there's been the CDC model, there's been a WHO model. There have been different models, each serve as a concept that would be the basis of public health activity, of a public health system activity. But we want to bring all these together because we need to have just one vocabulary. If we don't have the one vocabulary, we're basically maintaining the same type of fragmentation. So the GPHFs are the building blocks. They describe what the system should deliver in terms of functions rather than providers or programs. We want to go away from the program thinking. It's not about doing HIV or doing TB or doing maternal, mother and child health care. Of course, they are a result, but they are the buildings that we build on top of the building blocks. And also, one of the issues, I come from Israel, one of the issue is, of course, who provides what. We want to move away from that. We don't want to talk about who does what. We want to talk about what the system does, how the system performs. And, of course, the GPHFs create a baseline for a public health system. So now is the time to unveil, to unwrap that model of public health functions. So this is the model that we have come up with. I must acknowledge the great effort put by Dr. Joanna Nurse from the UK in creating the model as an integrative model based on the other public health functions models. And we have done that within the task force that has been set up by WFPHA. And if we look at the elements, I mean, just, you know, they're just one word, but they, of course, describe a series of things, a series of activities that hide behind these words. So we have, I want to go a bit more in-depth now that you see that the seven globally, hopefully globally accepted, public health functions would be governance, intelligence, promotion, protection, prevention, advocacy, and workforce. To go a bit more in-depth into them. When we talk about governance, we talk about elements of public health legislation, policy, strategy, funding, organization, quality assurance, transparency, accountability and audit. Intelligence would include surveillance and monitoring of disease, evaluation, research and evidence, risk and innovation, dissemination and uptake. Protection would describe international health regulation and coordination, communicable disease control, emergency preparedness, environmental health, climate change and sustainability. Prevention would include primary prevention, vaccination, secondary prevention, screening, tertiary prevention, evidence-based, integrated, person-centered quality healthcare and rehabilitation, healthcare management and planning. Promotion would include inequalities, environmental determinants, social and economic determinants, resilience, behavior and health literacy, life course, healthy settings. Advocacy is about sustainable development, social participation and solidarity, people-centered approach, voluntary community sector engagement, leadership in ethics and communications, and capacity is about, well, we change. You see, we had workforce down first, but now it's capacity. And it's about workforce development for public health, health workers and wider workforce, workforce planning, numbers, resources, infrastructure, standards, curriculum, accreditation, capabilities, excuse me, teaching and training. As you can see, some of the functions are marked in green, some of the functions are marked in purple. The purple ones are core, we would define them as core functions, and the green ones are enabler functions. So intelligence, protection, prevention, promotion are the core functions. And the enabler public health functions are governance, advocacy, and capacity. We don't claim that this is the absolute, the absolute truth of how the model should be. This is a working model. This is a model that will keep on developing, but it is a basis. It is a basis that, once accepted, can serve as a platform for more than just setting a vocabulary. What do we expect it to do? Or what's in it for us, for each and every one of us? We see the prospective outcomes, as I said, in having a common vocabulary. We would be able to communicate across the same functions between different countries, between different programs. There is, of course, the element of standardization, which we can build on once we have the model in place. Then, once we standardize, we can also professionalize. One of the reasons the whole concept of a globally accepted public health functions framework came into place is because we started talking about what public health professionals need to know, what are the competencies that they need to have. So, looking at the broader view of what they need to have is looking at what the system, what do they need to be competent for? Why do they need to be competent? They need to be competent because they need to be effective. And how would that effectiveness come into play? What is an effective public health professional? An effective public health professional is somebody who helps the organization he works for or the community he works for achieve something more. What is that something more? That something more is those public health essential functions, those public health functions that we're talking about. So we want to be able to benchmark the systems, the public health systems. And if we benchmark a public health system in one country, we can use that to benchmark and compare to the benchmarking of public health systems in another country. And then, of course, it also helps with priority setting, because you can identify the areas, the gaps in your capacity to deliver those functions. Once you benchmark, you can assess a gap. And hopefully, doing that would take us towards sustainable public health systems. Because one of the major problems, as I said before, you have a crisis, you input the resources, the crisis goes away, resources go away, it's not sustainable. So if we want something to be sustainable, we need to move away from the crisis mentality. We need to be able to move the system. We might use the crisis as a means to get resources, but we would want to do more than just resolve the current crisis. We want to move away the system towards sustainability. And it's almost the last slide. When I was thinking about how we look at the entire continuum of individuals, organizations, systems or communities and national levels, at each level, what we do is we train and we assess for the individual. Then for the organization or the agency, we want to do accreditation. And for a system or a community, we want to have local public health standards that we can monitor and evaluate. And at a national level, we want to have national public health standards that we can monitor and evaluate. And all basically would be aligned towards the global public health functions. And that would make a logical system. That would make, hopefully, an effective system. So once again, my take-home message is we need a globally accepted public health functions framework. As I said before, the time is now. And the third item is you can help. Basically, what we are doing now is we are advocating for this globally public health functions model. We need you to go back to your agencies. We need you to go back to the people you work with and tell them this exists. This is what we need to be working for, because once we have that in place, we're not talking apples and oranges anymore. We are talking about the basis for the infrastructure upon which all our programs can be built. Thank you for listening.